Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the life we have in Him. We live with a full knowledge of our Redeemer because He shed His blood on the cross, died, and rose from the dead. Jesus paid for our sins, and it is our joy to know Him personally as our Savior. I'm Mike Salem. It is a pleasure each week to introduce one of my dad's timeless messages. My dad, Pastor Salem, loves spreading the saving grace of Jesus Christ through his sermons and sharing the Word of God. We pray today's Easter service, Results of the Resurrection, where my dad speaks of salvation, justification, anticipation, and illustration. All blessings of the resurrection will be of encouragement to you. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And this is a very special welcome because it's a very special day, Easter Sunday. I just love Easter because it has such a wonderful message. And we're going to be talking about the results of the resurrection and is filled with hope. Boy, I tell you, we get so much bad news these days. It just makes you kind of, you get despondent just listening to them. Well, I got a message here that's filled with hope, nothing but hope, and it's only God that can give it. And so you just tell your friends, I think he's got something special today. Let's tune in and see what he can do. Well, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 15 as our opening scripture, beginning with the first verse. Moreover, Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, and according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Easter Sunday. What a wonderful, wonderful, glorious day it is, because you were dead for 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, but you told us that you'd be raised again. And just as your word says, your word is always true. It never fails, never once. You were raised from the dead and you're alive today, and we're going to see some of the results of the resurrection. It's a glorious message. Everybody will love it. And so bless us in this service, and may we honor Jesus in everything we do and say in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan has a song, Amazing Love, How Can It Be? And God bless you, Jan.
Died he for me, who caused
thank you, Jan, and that's really the gospel. And that love that put Jesus Christ on the cross, there's no way to explain it, that he would go through the agony. And just the agony of accepting our sins, taking into his holy, pure, undefiled body the sins of the world, all the sins of the world for all time, we cannot imagine it. But the love of God brought him there to the cross, and he paid for all those sins. And we pray that multitudes will accept that wonderful sacrifice. Well, we've got some letters, some really nice letters for Easter Sunday. Isn't that a wonderful time? And by the way, our scripture we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to locate that in just a few minutes. Well, here's one from Polson, Montana, and this is a lady that has a problem. Dear Pastor Salem, I appreciate the lessons you give us during your worship hour. I also appreciate the fact that you stand in one place instead of roaming to and fro and back and forth as some of the younger preachers do. You also emphasize parts of Scripture without shouting. Thank you for all you do. Well, now I'm going to tell you, when these young sprouts get to be 95, they won't be jumping around anymore, so don't worry. Just they'll slow down, sister, and thank God if they got enough energy to do it. And then you know, when you shout, that means you got a weak point. See, so if there's something you're not too sure of and you want them to get it, you shout, and that's supposed to get it through. That's the tricks of the trade. I learned them all. I've been preaching 72 years, and most of them don't work anyway. Well, here's Brookings, South Dakota. Oh, here's another problem. Enclosed, please find my tithe. I think I have taught my grown-up children to tithe their income. I think they're learning to tithe. I told them it this way. God wants them to be obedient. A true tithe is 10% of your entire income. Then I told them that I cannot outgive God. I think when it gets said that way, it makes you humble. Oh, anyways, and this is why I didn't want to read this. I got to read it. I'm good or bad. Anyways, I slept through last Sunday's service. Well, sister, you aren't the first one and the last one. So sleep away just so you put something in the offering. And then they close, God bless you in the Christian worship hour. Here's Mobile, Alabama. I thank God for pastors like you. You give people like myself hope. That's why I am writing you. You see, I have a very serious spiritual problem and believe God would never want to restore me to his kingdom. However, you spoke something that has made me rethink my decision, which is why I'm writing this letter. May the Lord bless you. Always bless you. And so, you see, we do get these letters, and they think of their sins. And one lady, she said, I got so many sins that if I was you baptized me, the water would turn black. Now, she's wrong in two ways there, because the first thing is, that baptism doesn't wash away sins. There's a verse in the Bible that says, wash away sins. And then the water won't turn black, because the water is talking about the water and the Word. The water is the Word of God. And by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, people are born again. And the thing to remind everybody is, like St. Paul said, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is what he said, sinners, of whom I am chief. He says, if he can say the chief, he can say the rest of us. That's 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Wonderful Paul. Now, here's a letter, and I have to make a confession with this letter. At Carroll Stream, Florida. I heard it mentioned that when you get to heaven, we'll have crowns that we will give to Jesus. Can you help me find this in the Bible? I've been looking for it for a while. Thank you. And here's where I have to confess my sins. I lost this lady's letter or the address. And so this is what I want you to do. Maybe there's some of the others. By the way, there's at least five different places where it talks about crowns. The crown of service, the crown of life, the incorruptible crown, the rejoicing crown. And so this is what I'll do. You write to us and just say, I'd like the article on crowns, and I'll write it up. And I'll send you five or six different crowns, and what are they, and how do you get the crowns? And so I'll give you the verse just in a minute. Let me give a couple more letters, and then I'll give you the scripture. Here's Lebanon, Missouri. God continue to bless each and everyone in your work. You continue to help a person to have a reason to live. Isn't that beautiful? Listen to it here again. You continue to help a person to have a reason to live. Well, you know where you're getting that? You're getting that out of the Bible. Nothing I did. But the Bible, God gives us a reason for living. And I'll tell you what it is. It's to glorify God. It's not to make money, not to get rich, not to live wild and crazy. But the reason that we are living is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So you just know that if you love the Lord, just serve Him. That's what the Bible teaches. Great Falls, Montana. Hello, I've been so blessed by all I know that you do. You sent a nice letter and a little booklet on overcoming addiction. Well, I quit smoking. Hallelujah. You have Jesus and it shows. And yes, we have some literature to help with addiction. And it's all based on the Word of God. And God tells us exactly what to do. And He gives us strength. Now, maybe she's got this problem of smoking, which is it's a terrible habit. It'll cut your life short. And I remember the day when I first started preaching, 73 years ago. And they said that smoking didn't harm your health. They sold that lie forever and ever. Now they've got proof positive it does destroy your life and cuts your life short. But how many people did they cause to lose part of their life because it got into smoking? So don't get into that. But if you write to us, we'll send you this literature that'll help you. And the nice thing is, when you accept Jesus, you have added strength that you didn't have before. You say, well, I've been trying to quit smoking or drinking or liquor or whatever it is. I've been trying. I can't do it. When you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. And Jesus says, I'll give you the comforter. He calls it the comforter because He comforts and helps us. And I'll give you the Holy Spirit. And you know what He said? He will be with you forever. Forever. That means you can't lose your salvation. Boy, that sounds wrong, doesn't it? But it isn't wrong. If you're a born-again Christian, you'll never die and never die spiritually. You'll have eternal life. Here's Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Listen to this. Pastor Salem, the first time I saw you, I was 13 years old. Now the years have rolled by and I'm 71 years old now. I just write your whole sermons down. I record them and can pause or run back if I need to get everything down. I could almost preach your Bible lesson. Huh. Well, you could do better than I'm doing. Age 11 was when I accepted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that's right, I've been preaching almost 73 years. And here's this little girl, 13 years old. And God bless you. That's encouraging. And I'll tell you why they stay listening. Because it's the Bible. We're preaching the Bible. If I was preaching something I believed or I had some ideas or some theory or something, I wouldn't last overnight. I'd be old as yesterday's newspaper. What do you use it for? Garbage. But when it's the Bible, it's the living word of God, and it is always up to date. It's always relevant. It always speaks to the needs of the day. And that's why the people read their Bibles all their life, and they read, more they read it, the more they love it, is because it is the living word of the living God, and it has a message for you every time you read it. Trouble is, we don't enough of us read it. One more, Vernon, Alabama. Love this letter. We get so many wonderful letters, and I hope more of you will write, and we'll share them. I think it just blesses everybody. You know, I think it even blesses God when he hears, see his people growing in grace and rejoicing in him. Of course, it bless God. Vernon, Alabama. I recently repeated the sinner's prayer at the end of one of your programs. I'm so glad I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I love Jesus, and I know he loves me. I'm 71 years old. I'm a Vietnam veteran. The Lord brought me through that, and I'm so thankful for that. The Lord has brought me through a lot of things in my past. I love Jesus with all my heart. Thank you, Pastor Salem, for your ministry. Isn't that a beautiful letter? And the more you know of Jesus, the more you'll love him. Now, I hope that you'll write to us. I'm going to give the address right now, because if you want that article on crowns, you can get that. And then if you want to, we have a little Bible study called The New Song. So you want to get that. And the new song we're talking about this month, the month of April, is about the joy of our salvation, the joy of the gospel. And it'll bless you. So you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And all of you on shortwave radio, now I'm going to give it again because I know you can't get it on your screen because you don't have a screen on your shortwave that I know of. I don't know what they got going now. They make new inventions all the time. But you write to us, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then if you'd like to get on the crowns, if you want to get a little booklet on salvation, can't lose your salvation. Oh, we got so many good things here. And the new song is the free and postpaid. And it is such a wonderful thing. We really ought to charge for it. But we don't have the heart to do that. We're just such good people. We just can't charge you for it. So we'll just send it free and maybe you'll send us a gift. So maybe we're not so good after all. Well, anyway, we wanted to mention this too. I got it written down. Be sure to tell them about the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. We are a member of that organization. It's an international organization, Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they audit our books. They audit everything we take in. And they tell us how we take it in too. We have about three different people have to handle it. They all take lie detectors. Well, I guess they don't do that, but they put us through more hoops. And not only do they check that we give account of every penny, but how do we spend it? What do you spend it for? And they audit those books. And we're clean as a hound's tooth. And we're proud that we're members of this organization, Evangelical Council Financial Accountability. So I hope that you'll write to us. So now I'm going to give a little prayer. And then Jan's going to play. And then you pray. And you ask God what you should do, what you should give. Because our only income is from God's people. That's the only source of income. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for those who have been so faithful and so loyal. And I just pray you'll bless each one, lay it upon the hearts of what they should do, and we'll just rejoice and go on and go as fast as you make it possible. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I know that some of you get all dressed up for going to church, and some of you have your Bibles and you read that, and some of you are having coffee, you tell that. And the ones that make me nervous are the ones that say, I sit in my lazy boy rocker. Now, if you think you're fooling anybody, you're not fooling me. If you sit in that rocker and you'll sleep during the whole sermon, then a ball game will come on, you'll stay awake for that. That's about the way it works. So I hope you don't get too comfortable during the sermon. Well, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected that he put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under his feet. We're going to pray now, and we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Syria. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, first of all, for this wonderful passage of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's why we have this glorious Easter Sunday, because it means that though you were dead and though you were buried and you're in that tomb 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, yet you were raised from the dead by the power of Almighty God, and you have ascended into heaven, and you will live forever. There never was a time you didn't exist in time past. There'll never be a time you'll exist in time in the future. And you were dead only once in eternity, and that was 3 days and three nights. But now you are alive, and you intercede for us, and you are our King and our Savior and our Lord. And there are so many things that come out of that resurrection. Oh God, help us to rejoice and help us to take heart and never to give up, but to preach and to live the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, dear Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Syria. Oh, God, how they have suffered so terribly. And, oh, help them to know that people, all the Christians, all around the world right now, this second, are praying for you, interceding for you. Take heart. And, oh, help them, and, oh, Lord, may they know that their life and their stand for you helps us to make our stand for you. And it gives us hope, and it gives us strength and courage. And so bless them. And just, Lord, maybe you come as soon as you can, put an end to all these terrible things. So we love you, Lord. Now we pray to bless us in this service, that many will come to know you, and many that's drifted away will come back, and those who have lost heart will take heart, and Jesus will be pleased and honored. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank's going to sing for us, and he's got a song, Love Was in the Room. And God bless you, Hank.
It was early in the morning, and a stillness filled the garden where he lay. Then the ground shook with power as the angels came and rolled the stone away. All glory of the living God broke through to the darkness of the tomb. And the love of the Father came and filled every corner of the room. Love was in the room, and new life was born where only death had been. Love was in the room, and death and hell would never reign again. When the glory of the living God broke through to the darkness of the tomb, the earth was filled with his beauty, and love was in the room. I was trapped in sin and weakness, sinking ever deeper day by day. Then the blessed Holy Spirit came to touch my heart and roll a stone away. All the glory of the living God broke through to the darkness of the tomb. And the love of the Father came and filled every corner of my room. Love was in the room, and new life was born where only death had been.
Thank you, Hank, and I tell you, that's the truth, the beautiful truth. Love was in that room. Love was at the tomb. Love was at the cross. It was that wonderful love of God that put Jesus on that cross, and that's why we have Easter, is because love was there, and that love of God is with us today, and I'm going to tell you, it'll be with us as long as we live, but after we die, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you just face the wrath of God. In John 5:24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." That is, you won't go into hell, but is passed from death unto life. That's heaven. Oh, the glorious gospel. And Easter Sunday is the headstone. That's the top of it all, crowned it all when the Lord came from the grave. And I just love Easter. And when we celebrate Easter, we celebrate the resurrection from the dead. And do you know something else? Of all the religions in the world, the founder of every last one of them lies out in some cemetery, someplace dead. Everyone is dead except Christianity. And Jesus Christ was dead for 3 days and three nights, and he was raised from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and he's alive today, and he will never, ever die again. Man, I don't know how you can, what could you get any more glorious than that? It's like one old pastor, he says, well, when I die, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to live forever. And that's what Jesus said to Mary and Martha, said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall not die, but have everlasting life. I remember we used to say, have that as a memory verse. And then I'd go to a funeral, and I says, well, they said he never died, but he died. And what Jesus is saying is, you'll never die spiritually. You'll die physically. If the Lord tarries, you'll die physically. But you'll never die spiritually. You may die physically, spiritual life. When I accepted Jesus, he gave me spiritual life. That's 85 years ago. And it's never left me, and it never will. And it'll go on forever. It started when I was 10 years old, and it'll never stop, that eternal life, that precious, wonderful, everlasting life. God always keeps his word. All right, so we have the resurrection. So what happens because of the resurrection? So I put down some things. I put down, first of all, Christ is risen, and now we have salvation. Because Christ rose from the dead, he made salvation possible for all mankind. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead proved that salvation is provided for all mankind. And then when we come to him, that if we want to have eternal life, he will give eternal life to anybody who has life. Once you die physically there, then it's all settled. Because the scripture says that after death, the judgment, you're heaven or hell. That's all taken care of. The minute you die, when you take that last breath. And you can know if you're going to heaven or hell. You can know that. Because he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Have to have Jesus. And that's what we're praying. And so we have salvation. And the empty tomb teaches that Jesus Christ, telling all the world that Jesus Christ is alive, that the grave is empty. And he talks about this wonderful gospel. And Paul tells us what the gospel is. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4, he says, this is the gospel by which ye are saved, how that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. That's what we mean when we says talk about salvation. It means simply that Jesus died for our sins, he was buried in that tomb, and he was raised the third day. That's the gospel. And if you believe it, you can have everlasting life. And if you reject it, you have everlasting death. That's all. That's simple and that plain, and you need to come to Jesus for that. And so this wonderful gospel says, if you accept the Lord, you have eternal life, and if you trust the Lord, you'll live forever, and it doesn't matter what people think or what people say or what people teach or what people have in their ideas in their head, and the cults are all around us everywhere. It's all as simply is that if you have the Savior, you have life. If you don't have the Savior, you have death. If you have Jesus, you have heaven. If you don't have Jesus, you have hell. And you are the one to decide whether or not you'll have Jesus. Nobody else is going to predetermine it for you, or nobody's going to tell you you have to go to heaven, you have to go to hell, or anything else. It's your decision. So here I am. We're preaching this wonderful gospel. And the gospel is, well, for instance, another way of putting it is in John 14, verse 6. Where Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so do you have the Son or not? Your decision. Isn't your wife? Isn't your husband? Isn't your pastor? Aren't the kids? Isn't the parents? Oh, I have parents call quite often. And they'll say, will you write a letter to so-and-so and tell him about salvation? I can't talk to him anymore. He won't listen. When they ask me to write to these kids, or mostly it's the children to college, I write them a letter every time. Send them literature. I suppose it goes in the garbage. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But here's the point. You are going to decide where you spend eternity. And salvation is given to us, and there is no other way. Peter was right when he declared to the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ is risen. Now we have salvation, and you can take it or you can leave it. And we're praying to God that you'll take Jesus as your Savior. And you could do it right now while I'm talking, while I'm preaching. Say, Jesus, I do want to be saved. I do want you in my heart. Please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake them the best I can. You'll never be perfect. You'll never be perfect. But we strive for perfection. And that's all God asks us to do. And when we fail, we ask him to forgive us, and he forgives us. And if he forgives us five times, he'll forgive us five times. If we sin 5,000 times, he'll still forgive us 5,000 times. You say, I can't imagine that. Of course you can't. You're not God. That's what God says. My grace is sufficient for thee. He says, where grace abounded, grace abounded, or sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace of God is greater than all the sin of the world. Come to Jesus. Well, I put something down, and that is, where Christ is risen, now we have justification. In Romans 4, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses was raised for our justification. Now, here's what it is. It simply means that Jesus died, and he paid to pay for our sins. And so Jesus is saying, now I'm going to shed my blood to pay for the sins of the world. And so he sheds his blood and he dies. But as long as he's dead, you don't know if that sacrifice was enough to pay for all the sins. As long as he's dead. But the moment he comes back to life again, it's for our justification. It's proved God is putting his stamp, paid. They're all paid. You don't need to worry whether God's going to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ or not. It's all settled. And it's settled when he came back from the dead. It's paid in full. It said, God is saying, I'm satisfied with the sacrifice on Calvary's cross. That's good enough for me. All the debt is paid. Paid. And that's the end of the story. And then God says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. No more. You know, I have people a lot of times write in, and I do it myself. Sometimes I think about some of my sins of the past. I wish to God I wouldn't have done it, but I did it. So what are you going to do about it? Well, I can't do anything about it. Oh, yes, I can. I can come to Jesus, and he'll pay for those sins. He paid for me. I couldn't pay for it. I had to pay for my own sins. Jesus didn't have any sins, so he took my sins, and he paid them for me, and I'm free. Free, and God has set me free. That means that this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he'll come and he'll look at the empty tomb. He'll look at the risen Christ, and he says, that's good enough for God. They're all paid. It's all done. And so then came the resurrection, and this wonderful resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, raised because it's all paid. And then Christ is risen. He is risen. Now we have preservation. That is, because Jesus Christ lives, he's able to preserve and to keep his people. I am so secure. I'm so secure I can't hardly believe it. Because this wonderful Savior, well, then he intercedes for me. He's my high priest. And when I sin and Satan comes to God and he says, look what he did the other day. Look what he's doing right now, the scamp. Or maybe calls me, I don't know what he calls me. I wish he'd call me Harold, but I wouldn't be that lucky, I guess. But he'll say, look at what he's doing. And God will say, and Jesus will say, I'm representing him, and I paid for all his sins. Get out of my way. Move along, Satan. And that's what it's in Hebrews 7, verse 25. Listen to what it says. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever cometh, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's able to save them to the uttermost. Well, that's the uttermost of sin. Yes, no matter how many our sins, the uttermost of sin, but it also means the uttermost of time, forever. He saved me forever. That's what, listen to what he says. Wherefore, Jesus is able to save us from sin to them under uttermost that come unto God by him, Jesus, seeing because he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's representing me at the throne of God. And as long as he's there, Satan can't lay a finger on me. That's forever. That's why I know that if I sin, and I sin many times, it doesn't make a bit of difference. This wonderful Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for me and pays that price and claims that blood. And it must make the Lord's heart ache when he sees me doing my sins. But he stands by and he says, I've paid for those sins. And you can never mark them against him. And you can never bring him to court for them. That's double jeopardy. You can't pay him twice for the same sin. And I paid the price. And they're all gone. Preservation never end. It'll last forever. The uttermost of time. He's able to save, therefore, to save the uttermost forever. Those who come unto God by him. And friend of mine, because of little faith, Don't go against what God is saying. Don't be that kind of a person that insults God by God here saying, I'm going to pay all your sins. I'm going to cover all your sins. And you say, oh, no, I don't know. I'm worried. Maybe that one wasn't covered. Maybe the blood doesn't cover that. Maybe he isn't able to do that. It's an insult to God. He says the uttermost of time. He lives forever. And because he is able to live forever, he is able to keep me in his fold, to keep me in his hand, to keep me in his love, to hold me. I don't hold on to Jesus Christ. I had a man telling me, and he says, I was with my wife when she died. And I told her, just keep hold on to Jesus, hold on to Jesus. How do you hold on to Jesus? John 10, 28 and 29 says, I hold them in my hand, and they shall never perish. If I was holding on to Jesus, I might let it slip. I might backslide. I might fail. But Jesus says, I'm holding you. You're not holding me. I'm holding you. And then the 29th verse, he makes it stronger. And he says, the Father holds the Son's hand. John 10, 28 and 29, they're worth their weight in gold. Will never be lost because that wonderful Savior is able to keep us unto the uttermost. And they listen to John, and he comforts all of us as believers. 1 John 2, verse 1. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Now, he's not done. He's not done. He says, little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we should really say, and when you sin, because we're going to sin. When thought, indeed, omission, commission, any kind of a thing, we're going to. But he says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And John is telling the Christians, try not to sin. But when you sin, you just go to Jesus. And he represents you, and he'll take care of you, and he'll keep you. And this very wonderful thought is given to us that he's going to love us and keep us, and we will never be lost. Romans 8, 33 and 34, listen to this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That is, who's going to bring any charges against the people of God? The people have accepted Jesus. Who's going to bring a charge? That's what they're saying, see? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. And then he goes on. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the throne of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And so he prays for us, constantly watching over us and keeping us. And how we need to thank God for that Jesus. How we need to praise God for that wonderful salvation and that he is constantly interceding for us. we have our preservation. And then we have Christ is risen. Now we have anticipation. Were it not for the resurrection of Christ, the apostle says, if Christ doesn't raise from the dead, what does he say? He said, of all men, we would be of all men most miserable. That is Paul saying, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, you're not going to get raised either, Buster. You're done for. See, if God is dead, if Jesus isn't raised, you'll never be raised. He says, we're of all men most miserable. We're hoping for something, and we're hoping for something, but we're not going to get anything because we've sinned, and God isn't going to intercede for us. We're going to be lost. But he's raised from the dead, and that means that he's there to intercede for us. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, listen to this. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he hath given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you hear that? He says, in his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here, listen. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven, reserved in heaven for you. And so we are saved and we're kept by the great and the wonderful power of God. I tell you, I hear these people. My grandmother, oh, she loved Jesus. She trusted Jesus. That was her only Savior. And I say, Grandma, I'll see you in heaven. We'll be together in heaven. And she'd always say, I hope so. I never ever heard her say, I know. That would have been presumptuous for her. It hadn't been pointed out to her that Paul says, we know that we have eternal life because we're passed from death unto life because Christ has paid for our sins. And we can say, I know that I'm going to heaven because I have received Jesus Christ. I have been born again. I am a child of God. I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And the body of Christ isn't going to be in hell, nor any part of his body in hell. And I have eternal life because I have an eternal Savior. Now, when I don't have that advocate to pray for me, to intercede for me, then I have to ask somebody else. I have to get somebody else. But I don't have to get anybody else as long as Jesus lives. And Jesus will live forever. It's as solid as it can be. Quit tormenting yourself and take your wonderful rest in this wonderful Jesus. And then the final thing I put down, he is really risen. Now we have an illustration of it. Here's an illustration of the almighty power of God. Should we die before Jesus returns, we have a guarantee of our resurrection. And if we die, we'll be raised from the grave. But listen to what John tells us in John 11:25. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus tells us, if we believe in him, we're going to live. Listen to Paul, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Those who have died before Jesus comes again, God's going to bring with him. He's going to raise them up. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. He says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. You see, it is beyond any doubt that he's going to raise us from the grave. Paul reminds us of this wonderful truth that if Christ was raised from the dead, we must be raised also because we're in Christ. He says in Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You know, in the Bible, there are two standards where God shows his great power. In the Old Testament, he wanted to demonstrate his power. He told of how that he brought Israel out of Egypt and delivered Egypt. That shows the power of God. In the New Testament, if you want to know what the great power of God has demonstrated, he says, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Old Testament, he say, if you want to see my power, look at the separation, look at Israel and how I brought him out of Egypt. If you want to really see the power of God in the New Testament, look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the crown point of my power. It's a wonderful, wonderful resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise God for that. I read about a little girl, and she died at a hotel where she was staying with her dad, stopping over. She died that night. Her mother was already dead. The next day, just the two followed the body to the cemetery, the father and the minister. The man's grief was great, and we're told that at the grave, the father took from his pocket a key. He unlocked the casket and looked in and looked on the face of his child once more, then silently closed the casket, handed the key to the keeper of the cemetery. On the way back to the city, the minister quoted to the brokenhearted man, quoted Revelation 1, 17 and 18. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. And the pastor explained how the Lord Jesus, though dead, was now alive. But the father said, what about the keys? It means, said the minister, you think the key to your little girl's casket is in the hands of the keeper of the cemetery. Let me tell you, the key of your little girl's casket hangs on the side of the Son of God Almighty, and he'll come someday and raise her up. That's the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you have that hope? Do you have Christ? If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. You ask him into your heart and then write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Write to us. We'll send you literature wherever you are. And then you just can grow in grace and rejoice in that faith. Now I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the multitudes all over the world that is opening their heart to you. And I'm praying that you'll bless them and help them as they may start the Christian life. And be with those, dear Lord, who are on beds of sickness and those who mourn of the loss of a loved one. And be with the young people that are struggling with the things of life and they don't know which way to turn or what to do. Help them to turn to you. Dear Lord, be with those that are lonely. Maybe they don't have a friend on earth. Maybe their very family's turned against them. Maybe they don't have a family. And so, dear Lord, I just pray that they'll lean on you and trust in you and that you'll give them courage and help. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So I want to thank you for being with us today. Thank you for opening the door. Thank you for having such a wonderful, glorious Easter time. And thank you for writing, and thank you for your gifts. We've got to have your help, too. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you just pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And one of these bright, sunny days, the trumpet will sound. The Lord will return with a shout and the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is also our glorious resurrection if we should die before he comes. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you for paying the price. Thank you for saving multitudes and blessing multitudes. Bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.